We do want to honor the fathers who are here today, and just we appreciate you so much, not just for your presence in our assembly, but for your presence in the lives of your children. We just thank you for being those people again who are just there for your kids, who are mentoring them and modeling for them our Heavenly Father. And we'll talk more about that in our service. But I'm going to ask the fathers to stand, if they would. You just stand. Let's acknowledge them and thank them for who they are in our lives. Let's just do that. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. All right, you may be seated. Now, in lieu of Father's Day gifts, as we've usually done, tokens of our affection, we have made a donation to the Rockford Rescue Mission in your honor. We've done that on your behalf. So again, thank you, and we appreciate you, and I know they will appreciate that offering as we do that to honor you and to meet their needs. Now, the scriptures contain many portraits of our Creator. One that resonates well with me and so many others that I know is the image of Him as a father. Having said this, that's not the case with countless people whose fathers were either absent, negligent, or maybe even abusive. Rather than invoking warm, comforting feelings, the image of a father fills them with disappointment or dread or maybe even anger. I'm quite sure that such a failure by fathers is a huge disappointment to our Heavenly Father. I'm sure that it is, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. This morning, I'd like to consider the words of Jesus that are found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and following, as he teaches his followers how to pray. Now, if you're using the Pew Bibles, that's page 1504. If you have your device with you or brought your own Bible, please follow along there. What you're going to find there are some very familiar words to most Christ followers, but I want you to please listen especially carefully today for some insights into the character of God the Father. For instance, pay close attention to his introduction to what many have called the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. He says in verse 5, "And when you pray," don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. "I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then," he says, "your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them," he says in verse 8, "for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, I want you to notice three times in this short section of Scripture, Jesus says, "when," not "if," you pray. The expectation is for us to be praying people. Those of us who recognize our Heavenly Father, that we're His children, we will pray. But with that in mind, did you notice that Jesus reveals also some wonderful qualities of our Heavenly Father in these few verses? First of all, He says that His Father is our Father. Three times He says that. He said, calls the Heavenly Father your Father. He does that. Let that sink in. Many of those in Jesus' day had little problem with the idea that God was the father of the nation of Israel, and even the father of some spiritual leaders like Abraham. But they couldn't quite bring themselves to think of him as their father. Yet Jesus wanted the people then to know God in a personal and intimate manner, and he wants us to know him that way too. In fact, the Apostle Paul would later tell us in Galatians 4, verse 7, "Because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father." Now, perhaps you've heard, I know you have if you've been around Calvary for any length of time, that Abba is Aramaic for Papa or Daddy. It's a term of intimacy. To be perfectly honest, for many years, that was not a term, though, I felt comfortable using to address God. I just didn't. In my mind, it seemed to belittle him. Yet the more that I've come to understand how deep the Father's love is for me, the more my affection has grown for him, and the more I realize that he is a Father who desires me to desire him as I would a Father who has been loving and kind and I have a personal relationship with. John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 3, verse 1, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." I love that. That we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. This has become one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, to be honest with you. I absolutely am thrilled in my soul to meditate upon the thought that I'm a child of God. Though I still prefer to address him as Abba Father rather than Daddy or Papa, I do know that's entirely appropriate for those who have truly been born again, who have the Spirit of Christ within them, to call him Daddy or Papa. But let me pause here a moment. Are you daddies out there, all of you, don't you just love it when your kids call you Daddy? I mean, don't you? It says a lot about you when they do that. Your kids love you, and they feel close to you. My girls have affectionate nicknames for me, which they used this morning when they called me. Sarah calls me Pops, and Mandy calls me Papa Pia. I'm not offended by either one of those terms because I know they're using those titles in endearing ways. Yet when they call me Daddy, my heart melts. It just does. I believe our Father in Heaven's heart melts when we approach him with terms of affection and endearment as our Father. Because remember, the Father of Jesus is our Father. Another thing Jesus teaches us here is that God the Father sees what we do even when no one else does. Now David said in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" The answer, nowhere. God is everywhere all of the time. Theologians call this omnipresence. Now, that idea used to cause me great concern, to be honest with you. Not being able to hide anything from God, that made me feel a little nervous and afraid at times, because I knew that my behavior and my thoughts and what I was doing weren't necessarily pleasing to him. Yet I want you to hear something. Rather than filling us with dread, this knowledge is meant to be a source of comfort for us. For David goes on to say in Psalm 139, verse 8 through 10, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." See, God our Father is always present to lead us and uphold us. That's the idea. He watches over us and helps us in the difficult times. He provides light in the darkest night and strength if we are in our weakest moments. Jesus specifically says in our text that he will reward our private devotion. Did you catch that? Now, I rarely go behind closed doors specifically to pray, let alone into my closet, as the King James Version renders it. But whenever or wherever I enter into a private prayer, the Father sees me praying, and he hears every word I am praying. And that's true of all of his children. The Father listens to his children all the time. Isn't that good news? But as amazing as that is, there's more here. Jesus says, even before we can articulate our thoughts and feelings, our Heavenly Father is aware of them and is able to fully comprehend them. again, David, man after God's own heart, puts it this way earlier in Psalm 139, backing up to verse 2 and 4. He says, "You, Lord, know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Wow. This means that our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And truth be told, He knows what we need better than we do. I can't speak for you particularly, but I'm very glad about that. I would hope that you would be too. There have been many times in my life when I asked for things that, well, were not good for me. Haven't we all done that? As a kid, I wanted candy, ice cream, and soda pop for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I asked for a shotgun for my 11th birthday so I'd go hunting with my dad. But my folks were wise enough not to give me everything I wanted when I wanted it. As a young man, I thought happiness was found in sports cars, flashy clothes, and a lot of girlfriends. After wrecking a new MG, a Kawasaki motorcycle, and trashing more than one relationship, I began to see the error in my thinking of thinking that's where fulfillment and true happiness was found. My father knew what I needed, and what I needed was him. I needed him. And having considered Jesus' prelude now about prayer, we're ready to pray. For he says in verse 9, "This then," or "this therefore," is how you should pray. See, after laying the groundwork, telling us about our Father, telling us the nature of Him, the character of Him, then he says, "This is how you should pray." Until we first understand who we're praying to, we can't possibly expect to pray as we should pray. And again, take note that Jesus didn't say this is what we should pray, but how we should pray. There's a difference. It was not intended to be a prayer we recite verbatim in public or with the crowd necessarily, though there's not necessarily anything wrong with that if it's coming from your heart. But think about it. It would violate what he said earlier about praying in private if that was the intention. Still, since this is an example of how we ought to pray, our prayer should be, at the very least, lining up with and containing the same sense of wonder and deep devotion as this prayer. With this in mind, I've got the King James Version on the screen. This is one that I memorized when I was young. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed," we'd say in three syllables, right? "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." First of all, notice from this prayer, our Heavenly Father's name is hallowed. It's hallowed. What does that mean? That means He is due great respect, incredible honor, and sincere reverence. When we talk about His name, we're just not talking about the name that He is called, but His reputation. His reputation is impeccable. It's amazing. Hallowed is His name. And this prayer closes with that same theme, really, doesn't it? So obviously our Father is to be admired with awe and great esteem. Why? Remember, He's all-knowing and He's ever-present. If we just get that, I mean, He's so big and so mighty, as we teach the kids to sing. He's so big and so mighty. Yet He's so loving and kind. No wonder those who approach Him often feel moved to drop to their knees in worship or raise their hands. See, knowing this, knowing how wonderful and awesome and mighty is our Father, and loving and kind, we want His will to be done now and forever. See, I'm afraid so many people struggle with his will for their lives. But if they knew and understood who he is and how much he loves them, they wouldn't have nearly the struggle. His desire for us is always best. Our Heavenly Father's plans and purposes are far better than ours. He's wise in all his ways. And the more we believe this, the less we resist his promptings. Instead of questioning his direction, we'll just go with it. Rather than dragging our feet, we'll pick them up and run the course that he points us to, filled with anticipation that it leads to blessing. In the process of that, see, it's just, once again, a demonstration, but also a growing thing that's happening. We trust him. We trust him. We trust him to provide what we need when we need it. Because remember, he knows what we need. When I pack for a trip, I plan to travel light. I almost always do. I'm a travel light. But somehow, I don't always do that. I often end up taking a lot more than I intended. Anybody else out there do that sometimes? Extra clothes and shoes and supplies, just in case, right? Just in case. I mean, who knows what could happen? We could get delayed in our trip, and need more, or, the weather could change drastically, or, there's something that I just didn't think about. I just need to take everything. Oh, I'm glad we got a lot of room in our car. But see, I'm afraid we sometimes use that same approach in our whole journey in life. How many of us have more clothes in our closet than we need? More food than we could possibly eat in a month in our cupboards and refrigerator and freezer? We have basements and attics and garages full of stuff we haven't used for years, but we're holding on to it again just in case, right? Just in case. Methinks such rationale contradicts the daily bread idea in the prayer. Our Father has the just in cases covered. What's the opening line of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Seems David trusted in his Heavenly Father's provision. And so did Jesus. And he's telling us to do that as well. And then there's this part about deliverance in this prayer. Now, these days I hear that usually just applied to addictions. And again, it could be applied there. But this prayer is about asking our Father to deliver us from the debt. And if you read down further, you'll see the allure of sin. Not necessarily, I owe someone money. But the idea of forgiveness is inherent here. Hopefully you recognize the love of the Father and the forgiveness he freely offers. How many of you have accepted that? His love and his forgiveness. His desire is to protect us from all harm. That's true. And he's more than able to do that. But this prayer addresses more than physical well-being. How much more victory we might experience if we prayed for wisdom to avoid those things that can damage our relationships with him and with others. Prayed for deliverance from the temptations, from those things that would draw us away from him, that would cause for our relationships on earth that should be cherished and honored to be distorted. He's able to deliver us from those temptations, from that evil that would pollute those loving, wonderful relationships he has for us. When I think about all of these things, I can't help but recall my dad. Over the years, I've shared a lot about my dad. He wasn't perfect, but he was present when I needed him to be. He worked a lot that kept him away, but when he was home, he gave attention to me and my brothers and sisters, and certainly my mama. He did. He made an effort to be at family functions and spent special time with me personally on his days off from work, and I sure remember those dearly and appreciate them. Speaking of work, he worked hard to provide for my needs and the needs of the family. We may not have had as much as, well, some other families that I knew had, but I never went to bed hungry. Never did I worry about where I was going to lay my head, or whether, and I never doubted that he loved me. He cared about me. Dad was pretty wise. He offered me a lot of good advice and tried to teach me some valuable principles. I'd have done better in life if I'd have listened more and taken more of that counsel to heart. I'd have avoided a few pitfalls and, I wouldn't have been picking up so many pieces from things that I had broken. And I'm not just talking about stuff. Dad was also very forgiving. I made some major blunders in my life. I know that's hard for you guys to believe. But Dad didn't hold them against me. And I'm not saying he didn't discipline me. He did. But he always measured that in such a way that I knew that I was still loved and welcomed. He didn't hold grudges. And he taught me that I shouldn't do that either. I've shared before that my dad didn't accept Jesus as Savior and Lord until he was in his 60s. So I'm pretty sure Stanley Harold Doyle wasn't intentionally trying to portray my Heavenly Father when I was young. I don't think that was on his radar to do that. Still, he did a fairly good job of doing that anyway, in so many ways. And I am so thankful that he did. If you can say the same thing about your dad, and if you have the opportunity to do so today, tell him. Tell him. Tell him personally, if you can. Communicate it some way or another to him. If you have that opportunity, do that. Honor him today for whatever ways he may have modeled God the Father to you, even if he didn't realize that's what he was doing. Thank him for it. Of course, make sure you always express gratitude to your Heavenly Father, most of all, for his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen? And again, for those who didn't have a godly father, I'm sorry. Though they failed you, God the Father is ready, willing, and able, more than able to be a dad that they should have been. For Psalm 68:5 tells us plainly, our God is a father to the fatherless. What? He's a father to those who've not known the blessing of a physical father in their life, or have lost one recently or over the years who was so dear to them and they miss terribly. He's willing to be a father to the fatherless. That's good news. One last thing. If any of you dads realize that you've fallen short and desire to be more intentional in modeling God the Father for your kids, it's not too late to start today. I guarantee you won't regret it. And your kids will be blessed for it. And God the Father will bless you as a father as you do that. If we can be of any help in that endeavor, let us know. We're not here to replace your dads or to replace dads. We are here to come alongside of them and point to the dad, the father of us all, who loves us, sent his son to give his life for us, that we can have life eternal with him. And that's the best news I can tell you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for this opportunity to be together. I want to personally ask you, Father, to bless the earthly fathers that are here today and are in the sound of my voice, and those maybe who are not. Father, help them to see what an amazing role and responsibility you've given them. Father, bless them, strengthen them, uphold them, help them. Father, to be who they need to be for their kids. And I just want to thank you for the grandfathers out there too. So many of them who are doing an astounding job, an amazing job at revealing you, Father, to their grandkids. So I thank you for them too. Father, thank you for the way you have been so patient, loving and kind and forgiving, gracious with us. We are forever, forever grateful. Father, help us again to live in this relationship with you in such a way that we reflect you as your children, and for the fathers to continue to reflect and Father, to be sterling examples to their kids and those around them what the love of the Father looks like. Thank you, Father, for loving us first, best, and always, continually. And we praise you, and those who agree say, in Jesus' name, amen.